So today, as we said, we are looking at Luke 1. We are looking at, not right away, 39 through 55. And it focuses on the responses of two women. Who are those two women? Mary and Elizabeth, correct. We had a big talk on this as Harry was stealing my sermon material on Wednesday for Bible study. Thanks, Harry. Just kidding, Harry. I'm kinda. And their willingness to see each other and support each other. To see each other and support each other. Jesus Christ was incarnated as a human being to place himself in our skin and on our side to reveal the Father and his love for all creation. That's kind of what we're celebrating, right? It's not kind of, it is what we're celebrating. The incarnation of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We are so grateful for the coming of our Savior. He was, he is, and he will be. We thank you, God, for everything that you reveal to us. We ask that today, as we go through this passage about Mary and Elizabeth, that we can place ourselves there, but also gain something that we are supposed to take away. Not just a great story, but just a truth about who you are and how we can use that moving forward in our lives. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a parenting expert. Her name is Dr. Shefali. Okay. No, not Dr. The only parenting expert I remember, right? Dr. Spock, right? He was a parenting expert. And she wrote a book called The Conscious Parent. And it says that every child needs to know the answers or desires to know the answers to these three questions. The questions are, am I seen? Am I worthy? And do I matter? Am I seen? Am I worthy? And do I matter? She writes, when a person feels that they are seen and they feel worthy and they feel like they matter, they grow up to live an empowered life. Well, this is wise parenting advice, right? It's also what teachers try to do every time a student comes into the room, when you're aware that that's what you should be doing, letting them know that those three things are happening in the classroom. But it's also what happens when we find an ultimate answer from God. We are asking that question of God. Am I seen? Am I worthy? Do I matter to you, Lord? The author Richard Rohr writes in Things Hidden, Scripture as Spirituality is the title of his book. He writes about the gaze, the look of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and how God looks at each person. And this is so good to me because it just speaks to who God is. And this is why we should go running to him instead of away from him, right? He says, it seems that God keeps looking at what is good and what is God in me. And of course, always finds it entirely lovable. God fixes the gaze, his look intently where I refuse and where I fear to look. And one day, my gaze matches God's gaze. My look matches God's look. And that's what we mean when we come together in prayer. He says, at those times, I will find God lovable and myself lovable at the same time. Because it is the same gaze, the same look. But they have become symbiotic and look out at life together. We move to a deeper level of being ourselves when we genuinely receive the being and the gaze of the self-giving Jesus. When we receive how he looks at us, we begin to agree with what he says. Does that make sense? Because to me, it's hard to agree sometimes because we feel so unworthy. Unlovable. and not seen. We're just so sure nobody has been through what we've gone through. Our sermon today from the text tells the story of the two women, Elizabeth and Mary, and the way Elizabeth saw Mary, as well as the way Mary saw herself. And as a result of her belief in God's favor, and that was the word we kept going back to, favor, talking about that. These examples highlight the importance of being seen by another person, being seen by God, and the outcomes for receiving that look. Let's read Luke 1, verses 39 through 55. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, and we know this as the Magnificat, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Amen. We learn from this example of Elizabeth and Mary that we consider ourselves, they considered themselves, and we consider ourselves in reciprocity. Reciprocity, in the reciprocity of presence. Reciprocity. Don't you love it when I use a big word? Reciprocity. Does anybody know what reciprocity means? To be reciprocal? Come on, English person. I heard you call. Receiving. Okay. Reciprocity. The back and forth. Okay. Reciprocity is the act of giving back to someone who has given to you. But here's the point. You could say the same thing about an eye for an eye, right? Reciprocity. Someone who has given to you. You know what people do? And thank you for all the Christmas cards I've gotten, and I wasn't able to write any myself, so just forgive me. Merry Christmas. Thank you for all those cards. They will be lined up on the mantle today as I get ready. So I thank you. Reciprocity. We do that with cards, Christmas cards. Reciprocity. The giving of that. Now, Elizabeth, we want to see, what's her reciprocity, the giving back after she has received? In Luke 39-35, Mary went to see Elizabeth, who's her relative, and she had been told by the angel Gabriel, your relative, this was earlier on, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month, and we talked about this on Wednesday, for her who has said to be barren, who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible for God. Hint, Mary, as you go see her, realize nothing is impossible for God. When she sees Mary, the Holy Spirit did what? Leapt into her, filled her, and she in turn blessed Mary. In verses 42 to 35, the word blessed appears three times. I was counting it as I was watching too. Three times she blessed her. In this example, Elizabeth's response to the Holy Spirit revealing Mary's pregnancy was blessing. Her response was blessing. She spoke of what had been divinely revealed to her. She confirmed that Mary was blessed because her willingness to choose God's will, wait a minute, her willingness to choose God's will demonstrated her belief in God's grace and favor. Mary had a choice to believe or not to believe. We have a choice to believe or not to believe. We can reflect on the loving divine look to one another, witnessing the divine presence of God in other people. When we see the presence of God in other people, what should we do? Give them a hug. Have you ever confirmed for somebody what you saw in their life that God was doing? That's a blessing. You know what I see in you? I see God's favor on your life. I've had people say that to me before. Pat, bless me. I always go back to that poem that you gave me when I became the pastor. We bless people by what we say to them. We can see God in them and just go on our merry way. But how much more effective would it be to say, here's what I see? I think we're afraid to say it sometimes because you're like this. What if I'm wrong? The Holy Spirit in you is seeing what's in them. Here's what I see God doing in your life. Because sometimes people need confirmation. Mary needed that confirmation. And she got it from her relative. The Apostle Paul wrote at Corinth, he wrote in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Here's what he writes. And we all who are unveiled faces, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image and ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We're transforming by being face-to-face, seeing God's glory. As pointed out in the parenting advice, people need to know that they are seen, they are worthy, and that they matter to God. And many times, they matter to you. I see you. You're worthy. You matter. If you weren't here, you would be missed. God has called us to share that good news. God's face is always turned toward us. He's always looking at the best in us, not for the best in us. He knows where the best is. It's Jesus Christ in us. He's always looking there. We always think he's looking at our ugly. He's not. He's looking at Jesus in you. And he agrees. Thank goodness he doesn't agree with us when we see the worst in ourselves. Right? He's like, come on, step in agreement with me. See the best in you that I see. Because when we come together in prayer, when we come together, there's nothing but the best taking place. Divine presence asks for reciprocity. Divine presence, the give, take, giving back. God allows us to choose him. He doesn't force anyone to do anything. Let me say it again. God allows us to choose him. He does not force us to do anything. So if I say no, I say no. Is it our job to beat them over the head when they say no? Is that our job? I didn't read that. God's still seeing him in them. He still sees himself in them. They're not in agreement yet. But we so desperately want people to know, we want to shake them until they get it. Wake up. I remember a pastor said, I'm going to kick you into heaven. I said, well, if that's the only way I'm going to get there, I got a problem. We choose. Lord, we choose you. I think that's what we all say here. I think we stand in agreement here. Mary's song shows us that reciprocating divine presence allows us to have an ongoing concern for others. I'm looking at Mary now. Let me go back. Skip Elizabeth. Back to Mary. I'm with Mary. Mary was favored. Favor, and we need to understand what favor is. It's nothing we've ever done. Favor is the gift of God. Mary didn't do anything to get that favor. But you know what she did do was agree with it and walk forward in it. She knew there was no divine reward for Mary being told carrying Jesus. You're going to carry Jesus, the Savior. There was no reward for that. And she did it in an unassuming manner. Lenny was telling me how they were acting that out today, and they had a teenager who was playing Mary's part and an older gentleman playing Joseph. So they're walking up the aisle today, and they were rehearsing it yesterday. And how they were saying to the guy, well, act like that's your wife. And he said, no, I got a wife. I'm just acting like I'm just walking her forward. Mary did it unassuming. Now, Mary's song, the Magnificat, right? It shows us that reciprocating divine presence always leads to outgoing concern for others. And you might not see that until you read it over and over again. Particularly, it talks about it, and as it spoke about in the reading of Advent, to those that don't have, to the marginalized, to those who are less than and made less than. We're talking about people stealing from the poorest, are those who don't have, like right now, those who are in hard times. How can you steal from somebody who's on hard times? I hate to remind, tell you who to go steal from, but steal from somebody who has insurance to replace it. I know that's terrible to say. It's terrible to say, but you know what I mean. Why would you? Because they have nothing and then you're taking more. That's shameful. To steal is wrong, but I think it's shameful to steal from those who already have nothing. Makes me ill, really. Sorry, went there. Says, my soul magnifies the Lord, she said. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations, say that word all, please, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me and his holy name. So it's not only for her, but God is getting the credit. God is getting things done in his holy name. In verses 50 to 55, Mary's song states, God's faithful rescue of the powerless and the upheaval of the rich and proud. Mary reflects on the divine look to others, how he looks, particularly those who are lowly and hungry and in need. So he says, verses 50 to 55, I'm just going to read again. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he has made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. So Mary's speaking about God's vision of peace for us. It's not only a vision, it's a truth that will happen. It is a promise that will take place. Those who are forgotten, those who are mistreated, the woman who had no money that you told us about, Giselle, and was in the grocery line, and it adds up to $500 and something, and then the person behind her, who does that? I'll take care of it. If that wasn't an example of Jesus Christ, I'll take care of it. You'll take care of $512. I think I remember the number. You'll take care of $500 debt. Who does that? God. Reciprocating. Somebody wanted to do something because they have been so blessed. I see you. You're worthy of love and care. I see you. These themes of injustice, right? We see it today. We see people struggle to make ends meet. We see wars continuing. We see a political system that's dishonest. But that's been going on forever, so don't act like something's new. God cares deeply about people. What does God care about? People. Does God care about stuff? We care about stuff. God cares about people who suffer, people who are injured. Mary's praise highlights the ongoing issues being faced because the world's just messed up. Sorry. When you sing What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong, all I can think of, yeah, that's a future thought. The examples of Elizabeth and Mary show the power of the look of love. The power that the look can give us, how he loves us, how he affirms us, how we matter. So that's kind of what I want us to walk out today with. Can we look at somebody today, not just in this room, because it's easy to love y'all, but it's not so easy to walk out and love somebody else, is it? Can we look at somebody and let them know, I see you, you're worthy. You matter. Let's make that a goal this week and beyond. Something we should be doing every day, right? Affirming people. Affirming people. Advent offers us an opportunity to rejoice, knowing that Jesus was incarnated. Jesus understands our human struggles, and Jesus will return and restore justice. Godly justice. And God's peace will be on earth. Jesus sees us, and that means that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit sees us too, right? All three. We are seen. That's worth amening to. That's not a word, but I just made it one. That's worth shouting. God sees you. So when you visit with your families on Christmas Day, and Christmas Eve, like we do. I'll be in bed on Christmas Day. Don't call me. On Christmas, just kidding. Call me if you need me. When you see that family, look them in the eye. Give them a hug. Let them know they matter. And let those disagreements pass away. Just because there have been, and you know some are coming, and you've been in disagreement with them, and y'all gonna be together. Give a hug and let's keep moving. Let's show God. Amen. That brings us to communion. Tammy Tkach wrote in a recent article I got from her. Her blog. This is the meaning of Christmas. That the Almighty God, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, became one of us. With a tiny, nondescript beginning. The great I Am became incarnate for us. He became a servant to us and later was obedient on a cross for us so that we can live. What a magnificent and yet humble savior. May we all worship him with awestruck wonder and joy. That's who we celebrate today in communion. The great God came to earth for us. I love it when they said, he said, forget it, I'll do it myself, because they're not going to be able to do it. I'll just come down there myself. And we're so glad he did. We just need to spread the word so that others will know it. Hey, he came for you. So when the argument starts at Christmas, hey, he came for you too. I mean it. There'll be joy. Pray over your house as others come into your house, or as you go into someone else's home, or if you stay home. May everyone see Jesus this Christmas and the love that he has for them, for us all. Let's pray. Lord God, we take this communion today. We are so grateful that we are able to come together and know that you see us, but Lord, we see you too. And we're keeping our eyes on you. Lord, you think us worthy even when we feel our unworthiness. Lord, we matter to you even when sometimes we don't matter to ourselves because we can't quite line up with your gaze upon us. Help us to do that, to see ourselves the way you see us. But Lord, then help us to turn around and help someone else see it also. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. So Lord, as we take this communion today, we take it humbly. We take it gratefully. We take it, Lord, and we remember you came. And you died for us. And for that, we are grateful. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.